This is a new dimension in sound.
You're listening to TalkZone.com, Internet Talk Radio.
TalkZone.com.
Time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, on TalkZone.com.
This is Bob Woodson again. You're listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why, and we're talking about the financial crisis that have hurt so many low- and middle-income Americans and what some people are trying to do to help them. Our guests have been Loretta Abrams, Senior Vice President of HSBC Bank, and Charles Perry, the Director of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprises Financial Literacy Education Program. And now we're joined by Antoine Diggs, Executive Director of the Buffalo, New York Weed and Seed Program. Welcome, Antoine. And you're sort of on the ground. You're the folks that everybody's been talking about today. So tell us a little bit about yourself and about your organization and how and why you became involved in the financial literacy outreach program.
Well, thank you, Mr. Woodson, and thank you for having me. Weed and Seed is a community-based strategy sponsored by the United States Department of Justice, an innovative, comprehensive, multi-agency approach to law enforcement, crime prevention, and community revitalization. In essence, we weed out the bad and seed in the good, and we do that with working with law enforcement personnel and community residents and members with inside the city of Buffalo. And I've been fortunate to work with the City of Buffalo's Weed and Seed Initiative for about 9 years now, and since 2005, in particular participating in the Your Money Counts curriculum with the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. And so,
well, tell me something about your own financial crisis. I understand that you aren't just a distant participant, but you have some personal issues, and solving these personal issues sort of helped you along. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. It really started, I'm what I like to call a successful reentry candidate. And so after coming out of incarceration, one of the things that I needed to do was I needed to clean up my credit. And I learned that by going to apply for some credit. I wanted to rent a car and go visit my mother who lives in Philadelphia. And I couldn't do so because I didn't have a credit card. And when I went to apply for a credit card, I found out that I had some credit issues. And somewhere in 2005, we got approached by the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise to start doing financial literacy. And I have a background in a workshop facilitation. And so I would say the first year, I did it and, I'm teaching it using my workshop facilitation skills. And somewhere around the second year when we started doing it in 2006, I began to see, wait a minute, I'm teaching this stuff. I really need to start applying this stuff, for myself. And I share this story with the workshop participants all the time that with me, it was with Sears. I went into Sears and I wanted a laptop so I could do my workshop presentation stuff. And they said for $24 a month, you can have this laptop. And, and I really thought, just pay them $24 a month and eventually I'd pay them off. Everything would be okay. About a year and a half went past and I noticed that my bill wasn't getting any smaller. As a matter of fact, it was getting larger, and I called them up, and I began to explain to them, I don't understand. I've been paying you just like you told me. And after, a long conversation and speaking with about three people, they finally just broke down and basically said, young man, only thing you've been doing for the last couple of years is paying us the interest on the equipment that you have. And that's when it really began to hit me that I really need to pay a whole lot more attention to my finances.
And so then how did that lead you to be a workshop? Tell me about your workshops. Who do you reach out to, and where are your workshops conducted, and what are some of the unique ways you have of convincing people that this is an important part of their life?
Right. Ways we reach out to people is Weed and Seed has a process where you have to have safe havens, and a safe haven is a safe place where multiple services are provided to youth, adults, and seniors. And so through our safe haven connection, and we have about 10 of them here in the city of Buffalo, we actually reach out to those agencies. They reach out to their participants, and we don't have a problem at all, finding 25 to 35 participants to participate participate in a 5.5 hour a workshop or a single topic a workshop that may last for about 3 hours. And so we reach out to the community. We reach out to individuals here right in the city hall, staff members. All this information is relevant to a lot of people that we serve. In addition to that, you know, having been incarcerated myself and having, you know, come back into the community and, you know, now I'm a taxpayer and, you know, successful reentry candidates. When we begin to look at the statistics and really look at, you know, men were not showing up to the workshops for whatever reason, there was a call to try to get more men involved. And, you know, I do prison ministry, and so I said, well, I know where we can get some men, and we won't have a problem with it. And so I began to actually reach out to Department of Corrections. They thought it was a great idea, with reentry being such a buzzword and such a target of the nation now, wanting individuals to return from incarceration back into the community and be successful. And so they opened up their doors, and I go in, and I actually present the workshop to the Department of Corrections.
And I guess some of those guards could use it also. I remember in one workshop we had the assistant chief of police was sitting in, and he said he went home and did a credit check and had not done so in his life, and he's going to encourage his officers to do the same thing. So it's what I find fascinating about this whole program. I mean, there are a lot of financial literacy programs, but what I find fascinating is the unique populations. What are some of the unique needs that people returning from incarceration have in terms of financial literacy?
Well, one of the things is just not only their credit report, because sometimes they're a victim of identity theft, but also the fact that, you know, you have individuals who, men in particular, who are being incarcerated, and they go in and they're not in debt. And when they come in, when they come out because of child support and all the rules that surround child support, you know, I was talking to a gentleman just this week, earlier part of this week, and he told me that he went in jail. He stayed for about 3.5 years, and he came out almost $10,000 in debt because of child support. Now, that's life changing to, you know, to be incarcerated one and without debt, and then to come out and now you're $10,000 in debt because of child support, and because of the rules, you know, he has to pay that. He has to pay that back. And so just, you know, so now he has to live on a budget. You know, you can't just come out and get a job and do anything you want to do. Not only do you have to live on a budget and understand the budget, but you also have to realize that now your paycheck may be garnished, you know. And so that's, you know, so just teaching them, you know, how to create a budget and how important it is to create a budget. I think that's what they get excited about, you know, the most. The first time it happened for me is when I got married. You know, I got married and we went to our pastor for marriage counseling prior to us actually getting married, and he told us to make sure we sat down and talked about finances. And, you know, my wife sent me, you know, my fiance then, we sat down, and we pulled out all our credit cards. Between the two of us, we had like 30 credit cards, you know, some of the same credit cards. And she said to me, she said, okay, you can have two. And I said, two? You know, we almost didn't get married because of that. But, you know, it took me a long time to build up my credit and get them little 15 credit cards. But later on, what happened was, you know, that Sears bill I had that wasn't paid off, I noticed that the next time the bill came in, it was a whole lot lower. And then it came in again, it was a whole lot lower. And before I knew it, she had paid it off because she knew how to do a budget, where I didn't know how to do a budget. You know, I got my money and I paid the bills. So if bill A came in first, they got paid. If bill B came in second, you know, they got paid next time around. You know, I didn't know anything about a budget. But when I got married and, you know, we sat down with my wife, my pastor encouraged us to talk about finances, because she knew how to do a budget, she automatically put our finances together and started budgeting. You know, and so, you know, she taught me how to budget. And then as I was teaching the class, I began to realize, okay, once a month when she goes away in her little corner and I don't bother her and she's got paper all spread out and the bills, and she comes out of that, you know, that whole process with a big smile on her face because the bills have been paid and everything has been set up, you know, I realized that she was taking care of the budget and we were actually living on a budget. And then the end result was that we're able to save money, and we use the tithing system. You know, we're faithful believers, and so we tithe. And originally, we started out thinking that we could tithe 10% to ourselves, and we found out that, you know, we couldn't tithe 10% to ourselves. We could do about 7.5 comfortably and still stay within our budget. And, you know, at the end of this year, I was sharing with some people a couple weeks ago, at the end of this year, because we've been living on a budget, because we've been tithing and doing what we need to do, we'll be able to take about $15,000 and put it on our mortgage. And that's directly coming from living on a budget, and but also teaching these financial literacy classes. Because the more I teach, the more I apply. The more I teach, the more I apply.
Well, that's a powerful, powerful a message, and I want to thank you for delivering it to us and sharing that with you and your life and your wonderful work, and all the best to you. Our guests today have been Loretta Abrams, Senior Vice President of HSBC Bank, Charles Perry, Director of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise Financial Literacy Education Program, and Antoine Diggs, Executive Director of the Buffalo, New York Weed and Seed Program. Next week, we will continue to explore some of the more issues troubling schools and communities and talk to some of the people who are actually solving these problems. I'm Bob Woodson, President of the Center for Neighborhood Enterprise. Please join us next week at 1 p.m. Eastern Time to listen to the show. To access past shows and programs, go to www.cneonline.org and click on the radio icon. If you'd like to comment on the show or send us some story ideas, please email us at bobwoodsonshow@cneonline.org. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you and wish you a great week. And this has been the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why.
You've been listening to the Bob Woodson Show, What Works and Why. Insights and solutions to some of America's most troubling societal problems. Featuring community activist Robert L. Woodson Sr. To learn more, visit cneonline.org. And join us next time for more of the Bob Woodson Show, right here on TalkZone.com.